This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Welcome everyone. Isn't it amazing how, you can feel like, oh, so down and so on, but when you start to worship and you start to just lift up God's name, and I don't know what's it about music, but the louder it is, the better, huh? It's like, oh, you know, no one can hear me now, so I'm just going to go for it, and for some other reason, I get lost in the music, and I'm like, oh, just remember you in church, you know? Can't do that move, yeah? I'm joking, I don't have moves, so it's okay. Okay, for you that don't know, we're busy with James, okay? It's a book in the Bible. So James, he was a half-brother of Jesus, okay, for those of you who don't know. And so he actually grew up with Jesus. He knew him quite well, okay? But when he starts his book, and this fries my mind every time, he says, James, the servant of God and his son, Jesus Christ. It's like he didn't for a moment think that I'm better than you guys because I'm his brother. Guys, I can tell you all the jokes he told us or whatever. No, he's like, I'm a servant. He understands something about God, his greatness. Okay, so when we read his word, I love it because it almost feels to me like I've got more insight. You know, I know the whole Bible's like that, but just bear with me. Okay, like it's something special that James wants to show to us. Okay, today we're busy with the fourth one, I think. And there's still a lot to come, but don't worry. Next week we have a break with Yaku that's coming from Pretoria, who will be preaching here. But this week we are speaking about James 2, verse 14 to 26. And the name of the sermon, just because I couldn't come up with a better name, ever heard of dead faith? Okay, for you who don't know, we have a guy in our church called Stephen, who is very good with apps and stuff, you know. And there's a YouVersion. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone and you go to events, live events, all our notes are on there right now. So you can even in your phone put your notes on there. I know, it's scary. But and then you have to save the event. Then you have the notes of this sermon on your phone whenever you go into that app. Doesn't matter if you get a new phone. New technology these days. So if you have your phone and you have the app now, I don't mind you using it or looking at your phone. It's not like a teacher where you're like, put that phone away, you know? Okay. I can't remember who was in church last year, but I think I told this. I had a dream last year. And in the dream, I knew that Jesus was coming back, you know? And I was so excited because Jesus was coming back. And the next moment, I heard the trumpets. You know, and if you read the word, then it always speak about Jesus returning, you will hear the trumpets. And so in my dream, I heard the trumpets. So I knew he's close now. It's like, he's here, you know, it's like, but when I look at the people around me, they were not ready for him to come. Okay, so that is like, whoa, you know, it's like, what do you do? It's almost too late now. Jesus is coming. It's not like I can now minister or tell people about Jesus. There wasn't that expectation for Jesus to come. And I was reminded about that dream this week, and then this verse came up in my head, and it made me think about this. So now I think it's the first one. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The first time I read that, I remembered, I was like, uh-oh. You know, it's not one of those verses that I say to myself to comfort myself, right? It's one of those verses where I read it and I'm like, where's my heart at? It's one of those verses where I'm like, what do you mean, Lord? This is Jesus speaking here. What do you mean, will he find faith? Isn't there a lot of churches? Isn't there a lot of Christians that we know? Why is Jesus saying, will I find faith on the earth? What is faith? What is he talking about? I want to know, right? I want that faith because it seems like Jesus is looking for that faith, right? Anyone else? Noku? Okay, so that's introduction to our James this morning. Let's read together James 2, verse 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not your father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Sure, what a piece of scripture, huh? It's not ones that what we often liked. And if we go back in the history of the church, the Reformation, you know, Martin Luther, he actually said, no, he doesn't think this must be part of the Bible initially, you know, because he said that, no, Paul says in Ephesians, we are saved through grace by faith, right? Not of works, so that no one will boast. It is a gift of God. Martin Luther got it right later on that these two is actually the same. Yes, we don't have to do anything to deserve God's love. We don't have to do anything to come and receive salvation from God. Not at all, guys. Don't feel that you have to live a good life and then God will save you. God says, no, it's a gift. And what is a gift? I've never paid for a gift. Hey, Marichan, happy birthday. Oh, wait, let me just see how much money I have. No, a gift is for free. Salvation is for free. There's two deceptions in the church these days, in believers in the church. And the first one is that we have to work for our salvation. Okay? So often the enemy will come and he will tell you, you're not good enough. Work harder at being a Christian. That's not God. God will not tell you, work harder. You're not Christian enough. You know, whenever you feel like, oh, I'm not good enough, then it's the enemy talking to you. Whenever you feel like, oh, I want to repent and I want to grow, then it's God talking to you. Then it's conviction of the Holy Spirit. But when you feel like a failure and I messed up, it's condemnation. It's something pushing you down, telling you, come on, you're not working hard enough. You're not good enough. You swear again. How could you? You know, now I have to fast 10 weeks again before you can come to God. You laugh, but some people believe that. And that's not true. Because God said, I saved you. It's free. You know? Here I'm standing with my open arms. I want you to come to me. I want you to come. I died for everyone. What does John 3:16 say? We know it so well. God so loved the world. Not just the special ones who behave and do well. So what is James saying? What does he mean that, you know, faith without deeds are dead? faith. How does that make sense? Well, that's what we're speaking about today. So I'm glad you're here. Okay, I actually did have Ephesians. Thanks, Cindy, you're amazing. Okay, so to understand this, we first need to see, like, what is works? Okay, what is works? Who of you like to work? No one. Whoa, I like to work. Like, I don't like the dishes, you know. But I actually like to be busy and work and do things. Okay, I must go to another channel. I'm joking. You're like, you're afraid I'm going to say, okay, we're going to do this now, whatever. But works, when we look at James, you must see what works James talking about. You know, because immediately when we think of work, like all of you just now did, was like, oh no, please no work for me now, you know. But work here is something else because, guys, we're busy with the book of James. And from James 1 to the end, you will see he talks about very specific things. The first thing that we covered the first week was perseverance. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Now, that's part of a work. Okay? You can't have faith. Say you have faith, but you can't persevere. Now, I'm not talking about you just became a Christian and now you have to be the best perseverance person ever. Don't ever get something like that. I'm talking about keeping on, believing in God. If that thing happens, you keep on believing. You keep on believing. You press through. Yes, you will have some setbacks and be like, oh, I'm the worst sinner ever. But then again, you come back and you believe and you believe and you believe. What's the second thing that he talked about? I have to check my notes, sorry. Loving God and loving each other. That's part of the works that he's talking about. That's not something that you can, like, do. You can fake it, but it's going to be evident that you don't really love some or other time, right? But like you said, true religion is this, to look after the orphan and the widow in their needs and keep oneself pure or separated from the world. What is the word? You're all right. Okay, so the works he's talking about is something totally different than we think we should do. Okay, when you think, you're thinking of all those things, don't sin, don't do that, be perfect, don't get angry, you know, all part of it, but you want to live a good life where God is like saying it's about the heart. It's about what's going on in here. You know, and when we have faith in God, and we don't show that in some other way, it means that our faith is dead. Does it make sense? Like even Pilani, when he spoke last week, he talked about favoritism. That was the previous part of James 2. We don't come to church, and here comes a guy, and you can see, oh, he hasn't bathed in 2 days. You know, and now you're like, you go sit in that corner. You know, and now someone else comes in, and you can see this guy's got money. You know, and he gets the front seat. You all got money, right? You all got the first seats. I'm joking. You know, he says, don't do that. Because where's the love of Christ in that? Jesus, when he comes, he didn't go to the king first and says, yes, I want to meet with you. And now, who did he go to? He went to the fishermen. I don't even know if they had teeth. You know, God doesn't look at the same things we do. And what's happening now, I believe that God is awakening the church. Amen. You know, to the fact that, guys, we as a church doesn't need to look like the world. We don't need to look like the world. You know, because many times we think when we come to church and we don't have the coolest that and the coolest people, you know, praise God I can't speak proper English, you know. Now you know I'm not part of the cool people, you know. It's not like we just flock where all the good stuff is, where all the people who are sorted out is, you know, where we go to church and we fake it, you know. Now I'm okay. I'm sorted, you know. I don't think that's faith. I don't think this is what James is talking about. He's like, come as you are, you know. Come with your works that shows that I have faith. come up with works when I'm so messed up and when I'm so hurting that I'm not running to the bar. Doesn't matter what's happening, but I'm running to God. I'm running to His people. I'm running to His word. I'm running to the church. I'm running to where I can get Christian counseling. Right? This is part about what James is talking here. He's saying, guys, if you have faith, but you have no works that show it, it is dead. Now, last night I was praying for our church. Pretty easy to pray for everyone at the moment, by name, you know, which I praise God for. But as I was going through the people in my mind, I was like, wow, Lord, look at this one. Look how their faith is showing. I was amazed. I was amazed at the people in our church who, if I think of them, I'm like, they have not given up. They have pressed through. They have given even when they didn't have, they have given. Their faith have been showing. They have believed in you. They have held on to you. And this morning, I really want to commend you for that. I know sometimes we stand in church and we're just like, hello, get up, you know, get going, believe. But this morning I really want to say, well done. Well done for not giving up. Well done for pushing through. Now I'm getting emotional. But well done, guys. This week I said to someone, you inspire me. You might think like, yo, I just went through such a tough time and, I just couldn't get through and what must people be thinking? But there's people watching and saying, you inspire me. You inspire me because your faith is showing. You have not given up. You have trusted God even when you were in the darkest valley. And it's shown. And I want to say to you, well done this morning. I was like talking to God last night and I'm like, Lord, who are these people? You've given us a bunch of amazing people. And then I got excited. Because then I felt God said, there's more. There's more. Guys, God is giving us more. You thought you had faith. You thought you had faith to go through these things. God says, there's more, and I'm going to give you more. There's more. Why? Why is there more? Yes, there's more for us to be able to cope and to be able to get through situations. But God is going to start working in us so that not only our lives will be affected by this faith that we have, but the world will be affected. And when I look at the people in front of me, I see people who have an ability to endure, who have an ability to trust, who have an ability to be steadfast. That's not something we have in this world anymore, right? It's not something that is often seen. But there's ability and something in our hearts to be steadfast. And God says, I want to impart more to you. I want to impart more to you. Are you ready to open your heart and say, yes, Jesus, I am ready. Why? Because what God said to me whenever, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I said to him, Lord, flip, you know, I'm so heavy about these things. He said to me, Marichen, stop doing things for me. Amen. Okay, stop doing things for me. Now, if you're here and you're shocked by that, I'm so sorry. But God said to me, start doing things with me. Okay, start doing things with me. Because the moment I want to do things for God, you know, it's like I have to work for Him, isn't it? But the moment I start doing things with God, it's a pleasure, and I please Him, and I walk in His will, and I'm like, oh, what just happened here, Lord? What must I do here? What must I say here? I don't depend on my own abilities anymore. I depend on God, and His Holy Spirit, and His grace, and His faithfulness. You know, and that He is able. Now, you guys have been enduring, and you have been through the valleys. Some of you have really, you know, stood steadfast when there was nothing else to hold on to. You held on to God. And I want to say to you, God is saying, now we're going. Now we're going. you've like barely, like, I know, I've been there. It's like just, I just surrender. That's all I can do, you know. It's like, Jesus, I can't do anything else because I don't have the energy and I don't know how to do it. And I can't, if I look at my circumstances, I'm like, I want to run away. I said to Derek, let's go stay in Timbuktu. I don't even know where that is, you know. But at that moment, you're just like, there's nothing else in you. But God's like saying, come, we're going to do this together. Come, we're going to rise up together. And I love that. You know, I love that because God is not saying, well, you did well. Go on. He's like, now, come. I want to give you more. Does it make sense? Is it encouraging anyone today? Yes. Is it? Okay. Because some are crying. I don't understand. No, I'm joking. Okay. Just before I get too excited on that point, because now I tend to skip over all the things that I actually should be saying. Let's just quickly see, I think it's the next scripture, Cindy. I'm not too sure, I didn't actually put it on here. Okay, just to make my points more biblical. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. Okay, they are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Okay, the next one, 1 John 2:4-6, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word and in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Okay? By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Okay, so if you want to know where your faith is, your aim and our aim as believers, do you know what that is on earth? As a believer, what is our main aim? Let me tell you. To be like Jesus. Thank you, whoever said it. Justine. Romans 6:8. Is it in there? No, not that one. Romans 8:29, I think. Is it in there, Cindy? Sorry. Yeah, it is in there. Okay. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Okay, so he said, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So for us to be conformed to the image of his son. If you want to know if you have true faith, guys, your aim in life is to become like Jesus. Okay? Now, did Jesus just walk through the valleys just to make it? No, he didn't just walk through the valleys just to make it. There was always a purpose. And there was always an aim. And there was always victory at the end. And I feel like God is saying, guys, it's time that our frustrations, listen to this, it's time that our frustrations, whoever has frustrations, you know, there's some people sitting here, you have such frustrations in your life. It's time that God is going to turn it into expectations. Now, what in the world does that mean? Let me tell you this week. So, I don't know if anyone's watching cricket here at the moment. Thank you, thank you. We have three hands. Okay? So, it doesn't help me talk about cricket because no one's really going to understand. But anyways, Wednesday South Africa was playing. I know, it's an interesting story at the moment. But, we didn't have small group, but I said, whoever wants to come and watch cricket, you know, please come. Really, I didn't know that. There wasn't any cricket fans in our church. But then what happened is by 4 o'clock, I said to the Lord, okay, Father, if no one comes tonight, I'll pray. I won't watch cricket, you know. I like cricket. I won't watch cricket. I'll pray. I don't know why I said that, because I probably thought people are going to come, you know. Not even my husband came, you know. So by 5:30, there's no one. And I'm like, now I need to pray. Okay. And so I started in the house walking. I like to walk when I pray. It just like keeps me going and thinking and so on. And I'm walking and I'm praying and talking about stuff to the Lord and so on. And the next moment, a scripture comes to my mind. And it's that scripture that says, all the ways of man seems right in his own eyes, but God looks at the heart. Now, if you were part of our church last year or beginning of this year, God spoke to me a lot about that verse. So immediately when that verse came into my mind, out of nowhere, by the way, that's how God speaks to us. If a scripture comes out of nowhere, like I've not been thinking about that, I was busy praying for this person or whatever, and that comes into my mind, I know God is speaking to me. But now I know what the scripture means. If God says this to me, he's saying to me, just check your heart. Just check if your heart is fine, you know? But now because I know that, I'm like, I'm just going to keep on praying. I didn't hear that scripture. You know, like, because I think I'm okay. Lord, we've dealt with that, you know? You're a bit behind. But God is so faithful, and he says that scripture to me again. And now I'm like, ah. I don't know why we're always like that. You know, and I'm like, ah, oh, okay. I'm just like, oh, just get rid of all your pride and your stuff, Marichin. And I said, okay, Lord, search me. Like David said, search me and show me what is in me. Show me what is in my heart. Ah, oh, God is so faithful. He comes immediately. And immediately when he showed me that, interesting enough, I usually repent immediately. Immediately my heart is like broken before God and I gave it to him. But what happened this week is like, I saw, oh, that was there. But I had to push in for my heart to come to a place where I really meant what I said. You know, because many times we can actually repent of something we did. Because we know it biblically, that's what we must do. You know, we're like, I must repent of this. But we repent of it and then we just keep on walking in the same direction. Whereas repentance means I repent of it, but I turn in the opposite direction. And I could feel, I'm saying the words, but nothing's happening in my heart. It's not like I'm truly meaning it. I know it's wrong, and I'm just because I'm a good Christian, you know, I'm not going to repent of it. And I realize I need to get to that place where my heart actually feels it. And it wasn't easy. I had to pray and pray and pray, and eventually, for me, when I know now hard work is happening, is when I started crying. And I'm crying and I'm repenting of this. Now, what happened before that is that there was something in my life that I was so frustrated with. Do you ever feel like that? It's not working. I don't know how to make it work. You know, it's like, Lord, I think I'm just going to leave it. You know? Like, I'm thinking of anything, excuses, or whatever I can do to make this situation or give a reason why it shouldn't work or whatever. And for some other reason, God is not taking it away, and it's keeping on there. And so that this week, I've been praying, Lord, help me. Help me with this thing. Help me with this thing. I don't know how to do it. I'm almost at a lilac of word. Like, really full of it, you know, for this thing and all of that. But and then this whole prayer thing happened, and I repented about something totally different. And Thursday came. And this whole week, I woke up in the mornings, like, frustrated, like, ah, oh, with this thing. And Thursday morning, I woke up, and I don't feel like that. And I'm like, what happened? Like, I don't feel like that. And later that afternoon, all of a sudden, boom, Zach walks in. I'm joking. All of a sudden, that afternoon, God gives me a solution, an expectation, actually. I have to do it now. He gives me an idea for my frustration. In such a way that I asked Derek, I'm so excited about this thing. Like, I had to prepare for today, but I was like, I just want to prepare for that thing, you know? Because I'm so excited about that. I was excited about this morning also, no worry, okay? But it just, and this morning while I'm praying for the church, God gave me this word. He said, I want to turn frustrations into expectations. You know? And how does it happen? It doesn't just happen. You know, sometimes we think, okay, God must not come, and all of a sudden things must work. You know? No. It's not works, it's a surrendering of heart. Sometimes, for me, it was difficult to say, okay, Lord, search my heart initially, right? It was even difficult for me to repent, to get to that place where my heart felt it. Why was it so difficult? Let me tell you this. Because the enemy didn't want me to repent, to get to that place or to feel it and turn around, because he knew that once I did that, God was going to turn my frustration into an expectation. And he knew that if that's going to happen, he's going to be sorry. Because it's life-changing. Now, I'm telling you, guys, there's some of you today here who's ready for God to come and turn your frustrations into expectations that's going to be life-changing. Okay? Now, I know some of you are like, I have no feeling for that. I don't even know how to do it. My heart's nowhere close to it. But there's always a first start. And like this morning when we prayed, and I said, sometimes all we pray is, Jesus, help. Amen. Then if that is all you get to manage to get off your lips this morning, then that is what you say. Yeah. And if that's all you manage to say in your times of prayer, then that's all you say. We don't have to come with all these fancy words and pray for hours. We can just say, Jesus, help. Amen. Okay? Start there and allow the Spirit to start working in your heart. Because you know what? God wants to do it. Yes. I'm overwhelmed this week again by God's incredible love for us. And where he can come and change things in our hearts. Where he can come and set us free. And he's saying, come, let's do it. Guys, let's do it. I'm here for you. I have you. And I've given you what you need for this, in this situation and your heart. Okay, are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, to come and turn that frustration into an expectation, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts? I'm excited about this. You know, I'm excited about it because God is already doing stuff which we cannot even imagine. Okay, and I've got so much to say, but I better not say everything now. Okay? Maybe I should just say this one thing. So, Pilani and I this morning gave that word of, you know, the revival and for us to hunger for God and all of that. Now, that always starts somewhere, right? It starts with our hearts and it starts with surrendering. But it also starts with prayer. Okay, and for us as a church, I believe, yes, for individuals, God is going to turn frustration into expectations. He's going to start doing the things where you were like not sure of what to do and what works to do. He's going to start showing you so that you can walk in it. Okay, but I also believe God wants us as a congregation to start walking in what he has for us. Okay? Remember that the church is like the body, and there's different areas, you know, a nose, an eye, and a whatever, claim twinkie, you know? And we form part of that, you know? Somewhere we're there, and God has a purpose for every little thing. Did you know that? Yes. He's not like, oh, shame, sofa, you're so little at the moment, and you just keep on going, you know? We don't need the tongue at the moment. Or the eyes at the moment. No, it's not like that. He's like, I have a purpose for you. Just like he has a purpose for each and every person sitting here today, he has a purpose for this church as well. Okay? And so we decided that we are going to have a prayer meeting where we are going to ask God. We are going to seek him for his will for this church and for individuals in this church. Does that make sense? Where it's not just like, okay, we're just going on with life. No, we know where we're going. We know what he wants from us. We know our purpose. We know. So he says, guys, you should look after the poor. Then we're like, we'll do it the best way possible. Even if we can only look after five, we're going to do it the best we can. Because that's what he's given to us to do. And we'll do it with all our hearts. You know, the same with us as individuals. If God says to you, you're here to mother your child, to raise him up in the best way ever, then you're going to do it with all your heart. Because that is what God has given me to do now. You know? And I believe God wants to show us. Why? Because he wants us to walk in fullness so that the world can see. So that people can turn. So so that hearts can be surrendered. Because why? The harvest is ready. The harvest is so ready, they just need someone to say something. They just need someone to see. Oh, I see in that guy's life. He didn't punch me through the face when I drove in front of him. You know? Or whatever the case may be. So we're going to have a night of prayer. Don't get afraid. It's going to be 12 hours long. It's going to be from 6 o'clock the Saturday evening till 6 o'clock the Sunday morning. Okay? Yo, I think these people are now so ready now. We must actually really do it. Nah. So how are we going to do it the first time we do it? We're still going to get together on a different occasion and actually praise and worship the whole night and pray and see God. But this time we're going to have a roster. Okay? We're going to do it over WhatsApp. We're going to have a roster. You're going to choose your hour through the night. Which hour am I praying? Okay? Where we see God and you're going to have exactly, you don't have to stress. You don't have to stress like, oh, I don't know how to pray or whatever. We're going to give you points to pray for. We're going to give you guidelines how to pray, how to start, how to end, how to ask God what to do. Okay? So all you do is you choose an hour through the night that you're going to pray. That's it. 1 hour. So we pray 12 hours as a church seeking God for His will, amen, for His purpose, for what He wants to do. Okay? And because it's on WhatsApp, okay, I know that night, please put your phones on silence because you won't sleep if you don't. That night, whatever you feel, whatever you pray, you put it on that WhatsApp so we actually have it. And we all can read it. And afterwards, we can go read through it. We can go pray through it and say, God, oh, this is what you want from us. Hallelujah. You know, now we can move with it. Now we can do what you want us to do. Does that sound okay? Yes. Amazing. You guys are so fruelig this morning. I really like it. Okay. Good. I'm going to end off with this scripture in Matthew 5, I think. 6, 7. One of them? Matthew 7. Does it? Okay. So we all know the scripture, and I love the scripture because God, it's like that first scripture we said about God, Jesus saying, will I find faith, you know, when I come to the earth? This scripture is like that for me, okay? But God has been speaking to me about the scripture for weeks and years, and then vrachis, I don't know what that is in English. On our wedding day, this is the scripture that the pastor used to preach from. Okay, and it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Can you see these two types of works here? There's the one where you did mighty works, and a lot of it. And then there's the one who did the will of God. God is calling us to seek His will. Sometimes He doesn't look at all how we think it should look like. But the moment we're in His will, we know we're running with Jesus. We know we're going where He wants us to go. And the best that is coming back for me. Can't wait for that day that Jesus arrives. And He looks at us and He says, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you a little. Yeah, be rulers over much. Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.